health consultant. I do research and program evaluation work, mostly with the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. This past few years, I've had the pleasure of chairing a committee that is affiliated with this organization and with the Centers for Disease Control, called the Cardiovascular Biomarker Standardization Steering Committee. And basically, by way of introduction, standardization of clinical laboratory tests is incredibly important in the sense that many of you, if you go and you get your blood drawn at a laboratory and you're expecting to get your cholesterol profile back, you assume the reliability of those tests. And without standardization, those tests, I think, are really at risk for not being reliable. As we understand, there are many manufacturers that do different high-density lipoprotein and low-density lipoprotein tests, total cholesterol. So there are many different manufacturing processes, and each laboratory has different quality standards by which they impose on their testing in the laboratory. So without standardization, which I'll explain a little bit, there's some risks that the tests that you're getting, the values are unreliable, which means then that you could be treated for high cholesterol and not necessarily need it if a physician just uses one test without checking it, making sure that we have a standardized laboratory. Okay, I just want to mention the two lead authors on this study that I was privileged to be a part of are Tom Horger and John Wittenborg from RTI, and I have nothing to disclose in terms of what kind of conflicts. There we go. Okay, briefly, biomarker standardization, once again, is a process by which the laboratories at the Centers for Disease Control have material that they send to laboratories around the country, and this material are blood tests that they have standardized, so to speak. And then they send these to the laboratories expecting that these laboratories would come up with the same values or at least within a range. These tests are done largely with laboratories that participate in clinical trials. As you know how important clinical trials are, so without standardization across multi-center trials, then the chance of having variable results are very great. There are two programs at the Center for Disease Control. The first one is the Lipid Standardization Program, which it does send out materials to laboratories that are participating in clinical trials. The second program, the Cholesterol Reference Laboratory Network, is one which engages the manufacturers to in an attempt to standardize things before the materials leave, or before the equipment leaves the manufacturers. And my second and third objectives are to describe how program activities could impact overall population cholesterol control through short-term and medium-term outcomes, and then finally to describe a range of plausible program benefits based on the share of the population cholesterol control improvement and those things that are attributable to the program. The background: improvements in cholesterol control have had a major impact on mortality and cardiovascular disease, as you know. A study by Ford and Capwell has estimated that improvements in cholesterol control prevented 111,000 deaths and saved 1.35 million life years in the year 2000 alone. Improvements in cholesterol are largely due to improvements in diagnosis and improvements in treatment. Both of these factors are dependent on improvements in the accuracy of cholesterol testing. The importance of accuracy and this is that research testing, early cholesterol research was limited, and the lipid standardization program has been operational for about 50 years. So early cholesterol research was limited due to high variability in lipid testing accuracy. And then the reference material method based standardization allows for results from disparate studies over different time periods and to be directly compared. Clinical testing is another important area. Increased accuracy reduces misclassification, which could lead to misdiagnosis, and needless treatment costs. A little more detail about the lipid standardization program. It's been in operation, as I mentioned, for 50 years. Provides accuracy-based standardization services for over 90 research laboratories, which measures total cholesterol, HDL, and triglycerides. It maintains the program maintains centralized serum pools to ensure accuracy across labs and over time. It also allows results of clinical and epidemiological research to be directly compared. And the major limitation of this program is it does have limited reach. Not all laboratories in the country participate. The Kremlin program, founded in 1989, is a network of external reference labs, which are required to show extremely close agreement to the CDC reference laboratory. It allows manufacturers to calibrate testing equipment and supplies, as I've mentioned. When we started the study, we had to say, well, what are the logic in the importance of these two programs in terms of outcomes? So we created this, and I'm not going to read this. Obviously, it's a very complicated logic model, but basically we had to create a logic model to show what is the association between the inputs in the program, the activities, the participation of laboratories across the country involved in it, and then look at the short-term, medium, and long-term outcomes. And we will not, well, as you'll see, well, we don't look at the long-term outcomes, but clearly at the short-term things. The CDC activities and participation. The CDC reference lab maintains standard serum pools for lipid standardization and for the Kremlin functions. The LSP participants are primarily, as I mentioned, research laboratories. Kremlin activities are a small number of certified clinical laboratories. Our first question was, are short-term outcomes improving? This table demonstrates that, as you can see, from 1999 to 2007, the absolute bias in the lipid standardized labs improved from 1.88 to 1.16. And that shows that the participation in these laboratories has improved the quality and reliability of lipid standardization. A similar test for the Kremlin labs shows that the bias, the absolute bias, changed from 1.77 in 2000 to 1.5 in 2009. So the improvements in bias are some evidence that these standardization efforts do have a benefit. So we also had to look at then the non-program participating labs. And as you can see here, there were still some improvements there, but the absolute bias values are still higher than those in the lipid standardization participating laboratories. This slide is, are short-term outcomes improving? Continued, we're looking at other evidence that the CAP program has accumulated. And looking at those biases, we've been able to show that the weighted average bias went from 1.18 to 0.69. And once again, there are overall improvements in the non-participating labs. Okay, the medium-term outcomes were the first things that we really were able to show some real change here. This slide shows that we have data for men and women, and then we have the values for that confirmed the estimated testing accuracy based on 1985 and 2009 non-CDC confirmed CAP survey results. So we were able to show here that that there were improvements once again in all categories, looking at the true desirable lipid standard is lipid scores, the borderline scores, and the true high. So there were improvements, as an example, in 1985. The reported as borderline was 4.6 and a 2.9, it was 1.6. So you can see there are improvements in each of these categories. In true borderline for men, 3.6 to 1.1. And here in the true high, we had actually improvements that showed about a 1% gain in the reported as borderline. And similar findings were for women, so I won't review that data. And once again, this is for the estimated accuracy on a different time period from 2006. As if we go back, you can see this one was from 1985 to 2009. This particular table looks at the changes between 2000 and 2006 on the CAP survey. So once again, we are able to show improvements in those laboratories that were participating in the standardization program. Other medium term outcomes, practice patterns, require synthesis and meta-analysis of directly comparable results across multiple studies. The cholesterol awareness, another outcome. The population has increased its awareness of the importance of cholesterol in preventing heart disease. And NHLBI surveys showed an increased screening rates for cholesterol over over the last 20 years. And cholesterol-lowering drugs, another medium-term outcome. It revolutionized cholesterol management and reduced LDL cholesterol by as much as 55%. These are all data that we're indicating, and that these are not things that we did in our study, but things that we found from other previous work. And then diet and exercise are other medium-term outcomes. LDL cholesterol has continually decreased over time, so that within this context of changing, you might say, a profile across the population, we're looking at the standardization. Then long-term outcomes. The age-adjusted mortality rates are things we're going to be looking at. It dropped from 412 deaths per 100,000 in 1980 to 257,000 deaths in 2000, and 200 deaths in 2006. 200 deaths per 100,000. There are other indicators of long-term outcomes and improvements in cholesterol that Ford et al. Estimated here. And just 47% of the deaths avoided attributed. Okay, other long-term outcomes, improvements in heart disease mortality, the deaths prevented or postponed, and life years gained attributable to cholesterol-related factors. As you can see here, once again, we have, due to the factors, deaths prevented or postponed were 28,785. This was in year 2000. So we're looking, once again, in the context of improvements, and then we will be looking at our estimates. So within this context, how much is attributable to the CDC lipid standardization program? This, you might say, is the weakest part of the study, but we had no existing data to show how much could be attributed to this. So what we did is we surveyed four members of the Cardiovascular Biomarker Standardization Steering Committee and asked them what proportion they thought were attributable to the lipid standardization program. We also, after doing that, first off, there were seven members on the committee. We only got response from four. We then felt that we needed to expand that estimate quite a bit, so we surveyed other experts in the field of cardiovascular disease and in public health. and asking them once again what proportion of the improved lipid levels during the past 30 years was attributable to the CDC standardization program. We got one respondent who said minimally 80%, which we felt was way out of line. There were many other factors attributable. Many of the respondents indicated a range 5 to 10, and a number of them looked at this is just a representation of the first four members. Well, anyway, after looking and compiling the data from the other 11 experts, too, we determined that 5% seemed to be the most reasonable estimate. So we said, well, let's start there looking at the 5% estimate. So here are the 5% values in red. The deaths prevented or postponed in the year 2000 we estimated to be 5,579. Life years gained would have been 67,000. And you can see we also then looked at more conservative estimates of a half a percentage and one percentage point, looking at the, once again, the number of deaths prevented or postponed and the life years gained. So we concluded that historically the joint funded program CDC and NHLBI, the CDC funding in the year 2000, in FY08 was $975,000, and the NHLBI funding was $725,000. So we totaled that. We had excluded the indirect participation costs. We excluded indirect costs because the program is really a voluntary program. And looking at that, we were, as you can see on the bottom line of this slide, we looked at a number of different ways to look at the value of life. Health economists typically use $50,000 per quality adjusted life year. The NCHS threshold looks at $113,000 per quality adjusted life year, and then EPA has used $300,000 in a statistical. So this table shows the value of life years saved, looking at each of those three levels, and then by the half a percentage, 1%, and 5%. And this is in millions of dollars. So as you can see, at the 5% level, if we use the most conservative estimate here of $50,000 per life year, we still save almost $3.4 million per year. And once again, this is the most conservative, or not the most conservative, but what we felt was the best estimate. So that does show that the program is cost beneficial. When you compare that to the $1.6 million operational costs each year. It's difficult to quantify. The limitations of the study are it's difficult to quantify the benefit of the lipid standardization programs attributable, the lipid standardization attributable to programs. We rely on expert opinion and note that even smaller effects will still result in high net benefits. We do not consider the future benefits of the program to assess what the impact would be if the program ceased to operate, and how much improvement in cholesterol-related mortality will occur, and how much clinical testing of research accuracy degrade in the program cease to function. So once again, this slide shows graphically the percent of attributable cost to lipid standardization compared to the benefits. So those are three graphics there. And with that, these are just the references in the material, and thank you.
Thank you very much.